The setting for our chapel today is sometime after Jesus' resurrection. He's on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. They've just caught a great catch of fish. He's prepared breakfast for them. And then we listen in on a conversation that he had with Peter. God's word as follows, John 21, beginning at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." I really need to talk to you about something. Let's have a heart-to-heart talk. So, how do you react when someone says that to you? "We need to talk." Do you react like, oh no, what did I do? It might be a prof. Maybe they need to talk to you about what they consider to be a lack of effort in one of their classes. Could be one of your Christian friends, a little worried about you, the way perhaps your life is going. Could be a pastor talking to you, your pastor. Or it could be one of my church members talking to me about some of my failings. When I went to school here in the last millennium, there were times when profs would call me aside and need to talk to me about certain matters, and I don't know if back then I really appreciated the fact that they talked to me, but now I do. It's a great thing that they had care and concern to call me aside and talk to me about things that maybe I didn't really want to talk about. Heart-to-heart talks, they're good things. We need to be open to when someone has to talk to us about something, knowing that they're doing it out of love and concern for us. And that's certainly the case here this morning with this conversation that we're allowed to listen into between Jesus and Peter. And, of course, he's also talking to you, and he's talking to me. The subject, at least for starters, is about Peter's love for Jesus. Remember Peter. He had bragged, that big brag that even if all fall away, even if all these other disciples fall away, I never will. Of course, they're just words. And it was that same night where once, twice, three times, he denied even knowing his Lord. And so, yes, it was time for a talk. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? You really love me more than these other disciples? I mean, yeah, they were cowardly the night that I was arrested, but I don't remember them ever denying that he even knew me. And so Peter very humbly, well, I'm sure he was looking for the nearest rock to crawl under, but he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Peter's probably hoping that this is the end of the conversation. But no, Jesus again asks, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And notice this time he doesn't even add the words "more than these." "Peter, do you just love me? I mean, you denied knowing me three times." I think Peter, again, is wishing that this is the end of the conversation. But again, very meekly, he says, "Yes, Lord. You know I love you." So, is this the end? No, one more time. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And what's interesting about this third time is Jesus uses a different word for love. The first two times, it's that highest kind of love, a self-sacrificing sort of love. This word, the third time, is a lesser kind of love. And essentially, Jesus is saying, "Peter, do you even like me? I mean, friends just don't do what you did. This is a tough conversation, a very tough conversation that Jesus had with Peter. But it was a conversation that flowed from Jesus' heart of love for his disciple. Some of you know what muscular Christianity is. You've heard of that before, perhaps. It's when your mom or dad, they need to discipline you, and you're hoping it's mom, usually, rather than dad. And it's where they say, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. And you're thinking, yeah, right. But it's true. When they disciplined you that way, it was done out of love. Peter needed this conversation. He absolutely needed the Lord to talk to him. He needed to be disciplined. He needed to be humbled. Well, it's the same for us. There are times when the Lord needs to call us aside and talk to us about things. How does that happen? Well, it might happen in a Sunday morning sermon where the pastor is preaching from some text, and you're thinking, he's talking to me. I do those things. Or it might be in a conversation you're having with one of your Christian friends, and they're pointing out to you, this is what the Bible says, and your attitudes and actions, they're not in line with what your Savior says. Or it happens to me, I just open my Bible, start reading, and ouch. Oh, some blind spot that I did, something that I didn't even know I was doing. And the Lord, through his word, points that out to me, that I've sinned. Well, what might the Lord need to talk to you and I about? Well, it might be maybe the things you visit online, or it could be the language you use, or it might be that you have a propensity to gossip. Maybe he sees the worry and the fears in your heart. Might be our attitude toward worship. Do we come to worship? Do we come to chapel with, boy, I want to listen to what my Lord and Savior has to say to me today? One thing we need to really realize about this text, it's much more about Jesus' love for Peter than Peter's love for Jesus. And that's the whole Bible, isn't it? It's much more about God's love for you than your love for him. In fact, we could never love him unless he first loved us. And so, where do we see that in our text? You might say, well, where is that? Jesus is just asking him these questions, and then he says, feed my lambs and take care of my sheep. Where do we see Jesus' love for Peter? Well, it's there in the fact that Jesus is saying, our relationship hasn't changed, Peter. I'm still your Savior. You're still my disciple. I'm not kicking you off the team. I still want you to be a pastor toward my people, to give them my word. I'm not saying you can't go out there and spread the gospel. So implicit in what Jesus is saying is, I forgive you, Peter. I love you. I love you unconditionally. I always will love you. I'm your friend. I'm your Savior. I'm your God. So Peter then had that opportunity to know of Jesus' love. He could leave his guilt behind at the foot of Jesus' cross. Jesus already paid for all these sins that he had committed. And he could go forward with a bright future of serving his Lord. Yes, he would stumble again, but that forgiveness would always be there for him. And so it is with us. Imagine that you're there that day. Jesus is making that breakfast, and you're around the campfire with the other disciples, and you're looking over, and I know I do a lot of things I shouldn't do. I think things I shouldn't. Is Jesus going to come and call me aside and talk to me? But then imagine that he reaches out with this food that he has prepared, and he gives it to you. And what do you see? You see those prints, those places where the nails were driven into his hands. And with that, your sins were nailed to his cross, where he has already forgiven you of every sin in me that we've ever committed. He was punished in our place. He suffered the hell that I deserve and that you deserve. He did that because he loves you. Because he wants you to continue to be with him. It's his unconditional love. Your status, yeah, we sin, but that hasn't changed. Sort of like going back to that muscular Christianity thing. After the discipline, I can recall my mom and dad giving me a big hug, got tears coming down my face. I still think it probably hurt me worse than them. But they said, Jesus loves you and so do I. That didn't change. And so it is with our Lord. One thing that astonishes me, that sinners though we are, that Jesus actually wants to spend all of eternity with us. That's amazing. We sinners. That's how much he loves us. So why don't we end our heart-to-heart talk today? I got a passage to say, don't open your hymnals. Where Jesus said, he says to you, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you also may be. And that's a great place to end our heart-to-heart talk this morning. Amen. Our hymn today is hymn 203, an Easter hymn. 203.